Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's
come
aboard. Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour extraterrestrial tango. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tacoma to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage.
Okay, how long you been on the air, DA?
Big time show coming up for you this morning. We go wall to wall football style after week number 12 of the NFL season. Lots to get to this morning. Also, some big college football comings and goings over the weekend. The Iron Bowl, one of the wackiest, craziest college football games you will ever see, ends with the Alabama Crimson Tide out of the college football playoff for the first time since its inception. So much to get to this morning. Plus, Jim Harbaugh sounding like a clown after the big game, after once again getting clowned by Ohio State. Coming up this morning on the show, Max Starks is going to join us, NFL analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll talk to Max coming up 2 hours from now. Also, will the Ravens run the table? They get a huge win yesterday over San Francisco. The Browns find a way to lose after their head coach looks like a buffoon in his T-shirt. The NFC East is an absolute nightmare. The Chiefs suddenly have some major juice. And we unveil our first entry into the 12 DAs of Christmas. We're not at number 12 yet. This week, we will begin with first four out. So today, one of the first four teams out coming your way toward the end of the hour as the 12 DAs of Christmas are here. All of that coming up this morning on the show, so dial us up at 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's begin with the Sunday Nighter. As the New England Patriots go to Houston, and most thought they would walk out with a win because of the mastery that Bill Belichick has had over his former assistant coach, Bill O'Brien. And here we were with the Houston Texans dominating the first three-plus quarters, leading at 28-9. A couple of late scores made the final score look closer than it was, but the Texans really dominated this game. And Tom Brady's final stats, not indicative at all of his struggles when it mattered most last night. I have brought up this point and people don't want to hear. They like to plug their fingers in their ears. No, I can't hear you, DA. But I'm going to give you guys a little secret. Don't tell anybody because you could be chased with pitchforks by people from New England or national media members, or the media that cover the Patriots. So don't tell anybody this stat, okay? But I'm going to let you know the secret. The Patriots haven't beaten anybody. Again, don't say this out loud. Do not bring this up from anybody from New England, and do not tell the national media, Because they're going to continue to put the Patriots at the top of the power rankings. They're going to put them as the second or third best team in the NFL. They're going to say nobody can beat the Patriots in the playoffs. Maybe the Ravens, if the Ravens have the AFC title game at home, but no way you'll win in Foxborough. So don't tell anybody this, but the Patriots haven't beaten anybody. I know we're only supposed to say that about the Bills, okay? So remember, say when somebody says, insert team hasn't beaten anybody, say Bills. That way you won't get yelled at. Do not say the Patriots haven't beaten anybody because... But let me give you a stat. Patriots have 10 wins. 10 wins this season. They're 10-2. They have beaten two teams with winning records. Two. They have 10 wins. Only two of them have come against teams that have winning records right now. One of them was week one against the Steelers. One of them was at Buffalo when Josh Allen got injured. So, again, don't tell anybody this, but the Patriots' two best wins were against Steelers week one and at Buffalo without Josh Allen. Number two, of those 10 victories, five of them have come against the worst teams of the NFL. Two against the Jets, one against the Giants, one against Miami, one against Washington. Those could be four of the top five picks in the NFL draft. That's half of the Patriots' wins this year. But don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. The Patriots have 10 wins. Do you know what the combined record of the teams they have beaten are? Combined record. 10 wins. Over teams that are combined 44 and 64. 20 games under 500. That's the Patriots' wins. Against teams that combine 20 games under 500. The Ravens jumped out to a 17-0 lead in the Patriots. Last night, the Texans had a 28-9 lead in the Patriots. Nobody wants to hear this. You're not allowed to say this because they're defending Super Bowl champions and because they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and because it takes a really long time to change people's opinions of something they've already decided. But here's the rub. The Patriots aren't that good. It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Out of the gun, the gift to Johnson, who gives it back to DeAndre Hopkins, who pitches it to Deshaun Watson, running down the sidelines and running in for the touchdown. Oh my goodness, DeAndre Hopkins with the option pitch to Deshaun Watson and a touchdown for the Texans. Some razzle-dazzle gives him a 27-9 lead.
You know, the Texans did a good job tonight all the way across the board. They're just better than we were tonight. And I'm proud of the way our guys fought and competed. But we just got to coach better. We got to play better. We just got to do better than we did tonight. Just wasn't good enough in any area.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Kevin Kugler, Westwood, wanted the game call. Guys, I got to tell you, Belichick's team trailed 28-9, had been completely outclassed, out-executed, outplayed in every aspect of the game, down 28-9. And Belichick says, I'm proud of the way we competed. Guys, Belichick knows he doesn't have a very good team. He doesn't. And people will say, well, the defense. And yes, on its best day, the defense can look good. And as I've said before, I think that maybe the Patriots defense, maybe, could be the type of defense that could slow down Lamar Jackson. But last night, didn't seem like Deshaun Watson had too many problems with that Patriots defense. And the first time around, Lamar Jackson didn't have too many problems with the Patriots defense. And I don't think that Patrick Mahomes is going to have too many problems with the Patriots defense. And it's sad that you've got Bill now saying, well, we competed hard. You competed hard, Down 28-90 at a 6.5-point drive, 6.5-minute drive, rather, just to get some points. And then after that, the Texans basically backed everybody out to the 1-yard line and said, yeah, just rip off 50 yarders in front of us. That's fine. We'll keep you in bounds. I mean, that final touchdown drive should have never happened. The Texans dropped everybody back and said, don't tackle anybody. And the excuse-making for Tom Brady is extraordinary. I mean, the excuse-making is extraordinary. Chris Collinsworth last night, and I really like Collinsworth. He's got no weapons. He's got no offensive line. The receivers aren't getting open. It's all everybody else's fault. Am I the only one watching him sail passes? Am I the only one watching him get skittish in the pocket? Am I the only one saying Brady does not have any confidence and he's playing as such? And once upon a time, Brady was known as the guy that did more with less, remember? David Patton, David Givens, Troy Brown won Super Bowls with those guys as his primary targets. But now suddenly there's not enough targets for him. Once upon a time, he did more with less, didn't need great wide receivers. Now there's just no targets for Tom. I mean, the fact is that Tom Brady's playing bad football. He is. And those final stats do not indicate that. Because when it mattered, he played really poorly last night. And give the Texans major credit because nobody thought they could actually beat the Patriots. Nobody thought that Bill O'Brien could solve his former head coach. And they did. Deshaun Watson made huge plays. DeAndre Hopkins, the big battle against Stephon Gilmore. Hopkins won that battle a number of times last night. The Texans' defense was consistently disrupting what the Patriots wanted to do, and that wasn't even with a great pass rush. I mean, Romeo Crennel knew how to approach that Patriots offense, and it was methodical. That drive that put them up 14-3 was a thing of beauty, and the Texans yesterday have the report come out that Bill O'Brien's basically now controlled all of the personnel, and they're not even going to hire a GM in 2020. And that just means, you know what? This is Bill O'Brien's. This is his meal. This is his organization. This is his roster. So let's see what he's got. He's the coach and the GM essentially now. What you got? Well, last night, that's a big win. That's a big feather in your cap. You did something that nobody thought you could do. You did it against the Patriots, the defending Super Bowl champions. You did it, and you flexed your muscle that now maybe you are one of the best teams of the AFC. I still don't trust the moments where the Texans play down to the competition, but now we see where the Patriots can be. They can roll with anybody in the AFC if they execute their game plan and they're confident going in and Deshaun Watson's playing like that. You know what? They've got talent both sides of the ball. They've loaded up. Now you gotta perform when it matters most, and the Texans have never really done that. But look, signature victory by the Texans, but somebody needs to wake up the national media and the people in Boston. The Patriots are not very good. They are certainly not as good as their record makes them seem they are, or their reputation makes them seem they are. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I know that Brady's been really great for a really long time. And I know that he's one of the greatest football players ever and one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. And he's always been kind of the perfect face of the NFL. And so I realize there's some real loyalty to him and nostalgia for him and respect for him. But it's kind of amazing how resistant people like Collinsworth or others are to even admitting. I mean, Aikman did the same thing last week. To even admitting that maybe some of his game has slipped. It's like you're not even allowed to broach that because that would be somehow disrespectful. Man, he's 42 years old. Of course some of his play has slipped, but it's like you're not even allowed to say that. It's kind of amazing. When we come back here on the show, the Baltimore Ravens are for real. And the Baltimore Ravens are right now the one seed of the AFC by virtue of their win. And the Patriots lost. And the Ravens just knocked off, again, one of the best teams in football. How about this run that the Ravens are on and all the great teams, the exact opposite of the Patriots, all the great teams the Ravens have beaten? They did it again yesterday against the Niners. Is Baltimore going to run the table? We'll answer that question next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sam Cook will have the hold. Justin Tucker for the winner from 49 yards. Snap is good. Kick on the way. It is long enough. And the kick is good. The time has come off the clock. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens take down the 49ers.
The GOAT. That golden leg. I got all the faith in him. You know, I'm on the sideline praying. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I know Tuck can do it. He do it all day in practice. He just walk around playing, kicking field goals, 65 yarders. So I got all the faith in him.
That was Ravens Radio on the call. Lamar Jackson after the win. Welcome back. DA with you. CBS Sports Radio, happy Monday to you. 23 minutes past the hour. Time to ask the pros, where you get to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. I'll be listening later on to the show. It'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Remember that you can watch the show. No sign up, no subscriber fee, no plugging in your cable provider. It's easy. Just go to the website, watchda.com, available for free on any device. Watchda.com. Coming up later on in the hour, about 25 minutes from now, we unveil the first of the first four out in the 12 DAs of Christmas. Yes, they are already here as we count down the greatest moments of 2019. Great, we're using loosely here, but maybe the most memorable. And the first four out. I'll also be posting to Twitter and to Facebook the candidates for the 12 DAs. And I want to get your feedback as well. We want the D-aliens to weigh in. The DA Illuminati pose this to me. You know what? How about bring them out to the listeners? Let us get our fangs on them. And we'll kick them around as well. And I was like, this is a great idea. I love it. So we'll post that for you guys to check out before we've even unveiled the rankings and factor in your feedback as well to the rankings. The Baltimore Ravens win and win again and beat a very good team in a very good game. Early part of that game against the Niners yesterday was really fun. And then it kind of slowed down to the second half. Maybe it was the weather. Maybe it was two good defenses adjusting. But when it mattered most, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens drove for the game-winning field goal, and Justin Tucker drilled it. Now, I mentioned this on Sunday Morning Football yesterday. I did not think Lamar was going to be in for a great day. I didn't think we were going to see him with more highlight reel, breathtaking, my God, did he do that plays. The Niners' defense was too good. The weather was going to hold him back a little bit. But when all was said and done, he threw for a touchdown, no interceptions. Only had 105 yards through the air, but also had more than 100 yards on the ground at a touchdown. Did lose that fumble on the beautiful strip by the Niners defense. And I will say that, to me, was a real turning point because the Ravens had great momentum driving down the field that would have put them, I think, inside the 30-yard line. And it felt like Lamar was playing at that gear. You know, we've seen that gear so many times this year. He's in that gear, and he's just unstoppable. I thought that drive, he was getting into that gear, and had he not fumbled the ball, I think the Ravens would have went in and punched it in. At the very least, would have gotten a field goal out of that drive, and it might not have come down to the final kick of the game. But when it mattered, the Ravens got it done. When it mattered, this Ravens team found a way to win. And when it mattered, they did it against a good team again. Look at some of the wins they have now stacked. The Ravens went to Seattle, beat the Seahawks there. The Ravens dropped the hammer on the Patriots. The Ravens blew out that Texans team last night that had its way through three-plus quarters with the New England Patriots. They went to L.A. and beat the defending NFC champion Los Angeles Rams. I realize the Rams were having a down year. And now they've beaten the Niners. Talk about answering the bell. Seahawks, Patriots, Texans, Niners, four playoff teams in the last 6 weeks. They've beaten four playoff teams in 6 weeks. And I just compare that, as I mentioned, to the Patriots record. They have 10 wins over teams that are a combined 20 games under 500. They only have two wins over teams with winning records. The Ravens have beaten four playoff teams in the last month and a half. The Ravens can absolutely run the table. And the Ravens right now control their destination. They're the one seed. They win out. They've got home field advantage and everything going through M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Now, big one coming up on Sunday at the Bills. Ravens at the Bills could be a classic. But if they win that game, here's their final three. Jets at home, at the Browns, home to the Steelers to wrap things up. I'll tell you what, the Ravens will be favored in all four of these games and the final three in significant fashion. I think the Ravens can absolutely win the rest of their games. It wouldn't surprise me if they drop this game against Buffalo. Bills are playing really well right now. The Bills' defense is phenomenal. It's on the road in Buffalo. Could be bad weather again for Lamar Jackson and company. They could lose that game, and maybe they have a third loss. But they could finish up 13-3, and depending on what the Patriots do the rest of the way, still could be the one seed. But this Ravens team is answering the bell, even when Lamar doesn't have the crazy, breathtaking, what the hell did I just watch plays. And because of it, Baltimore is absolutely the best football team in the NFL. They are. They absolutely are. They run the football well. They run the football with power. Their quarterback is so difficult to game plan against. And defensively, they can do it all as well. I mean, I think the one thing yesterday was that the Ravens defense got gashed on the ground. But, you know, the Niners, that is their bread and butter. I think the Ravens right now are just playing at a remarkable level and are answering the bell against all of the good teams. If this was a Super Bowl preview, look, it'll look different if it's in Miami, obviously. You're not going to have rain and muck and cold weather. But the Ravens keep answering all of those questions every time they've got a great team in front of them or a playoff caliber team in front of them. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Mraz, what do you think? If you had to lay money on this bad boy, Ravens run the table, win their final four?
Oh, I thought there was going to be a but after that. No, I think they're going to find a way to lose one, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Sunday versus Buffalo.
That seems to be their best challenge. They do have the Steelers at the end of the season. The Steelers have found ways to win as well, but the Steelers are so limited offensively.
You know what? The way the NFL's gone this year and the way with this one team I'm going to bring up goes this year, I wouldn't be stunned if the Jets found a way to beat them on a Thursday night. I really wouldn't be stunned. The Jets lose these games to the Bengals or Dolphins. Watch them beat the Ravens on a Thursday night in a couple weeks.
Will the Ravens be the one seed?
I do. I do think they will be because I think the Patriots are going to lose this week, and I think the Patriots are going to lose to the Buffalo Bills.
Now, that game is going to be in Foxborough.
I know. I know how crazy that sounds, but I think the Bills' defense, Brady in this cold weather is not going to continue to look any younger, that's for sure. I think the Bills are going to shock us and win a couple of these games here. I don't know what that means for the playoffs, but Thursday really changed me on the Bills a bit.
That was the best Bills victory of the season by far. By far. And the way that they won, they really commanded the game.
They can run. They can play defense on all levels. Good linebackers, good pass rush, good secondary. And Josh Allen does all the dirty work. Josh Allen is so Buffalo for a quarterback. Nothing is flashy. Everything's blue collar and just gets the job done. And him taking a nice hunk out of that turkey leg on Thursday, that was Buffalo.
Well, that's really what won you over.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this. Of course it won me over. But isn't Thanksgiving so much better when we give out turkey legs at the end of the games and not championship belts?
What was that? What are we doing with championship belts?
Because we got to cross-promote SmackDown and act like we're into the wrestling thing. Come on. Come on. Back in my day, we had a nice turducken on the table, and we ripped apart legs.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Thanksgiving has always been about turkey. It's about eating. It's about feasts. And so turkeys with six legs, handed them out, or turduckens, handed that out. That's the way that should go. It's never been about wrestling. Thanksgiving's never been like, oh, yeah, football, food, family, wrestling.
Yeah, and also, let's just say a radio show, sports radio show in 15 years, wants to put out a nice Photoshop picture on Instagram. What are they going to have, a fake Bilotti putting on a wrestling belt with a fake DA and a fake Bogus? No, you want to be grabbing into the turkey legs.
It's all about the turkey. It's all about the turkey. Come on.
Chubbo.
When we come back here on the show, are the Browns officially a laughingstock after Freddie Kitchens' T-shirt and then how they handled themselves yesterday? Plus, we've got the first of the first four out of the 12 DAs of Christmas coming up here next. So it's a big moment. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Mayfield again in the shotgun, gets the snap, throws a pass, and the pass is intercepted. And that's Joe Hayden, the former Brown. He's at the 45. He's at the 50. He takes a dive at the 45. And you can put this one in the history books.
Didn't play a factor. Obviously, they can use it as momentum for them, feeding off the energy. But we just have to do our job. You know, we expect that type of environment on the road. And anytime you're winning, you can take out the crowd.
Steelers radio on the call. Baker Mayfield after the loss. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Thanks for being with us. The DA show is available so many different ways, even if you're on the go this holiday season. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. You can also listen to us on your phone. Use the radio.com app or the CBS Sports app. Both are free. Or Apple Music, or you can watch us at watchda.com. So many different ways to listen.
Electronically ignorant.
And so many emotions.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
The 12 DAs of Christmas, first four, begin today. We'll get into the first of the first four out coming up in approximately 10 minutes from now. This one comes to us from February of 2019 and discusses what is appropriate caddy tipping. But Freddie Kitchens wearing a T-shirt that says Pittsburgh started it is all types of perfect. All types of perfect. You know, if Freddie Kitchens was 9-3, if the Browns were headed to the playoffs, if Cleveland's swagger was part of what made it great, if the Browns had found their head coach of the future wearing a T-shirt that threw some shade on your most hated rival, all right, it'd be kind of Rex Ryan-ish. All right, it's not exactly diplomatic. It's not exactly uber professional. It's not exactly what anybody else would do, but Kitchens has a personality. The Browns fan base is kind of thirsty for a winner. They hate the Steelers. You have this melee a couple of weeks ago. All right. You know, you might wear this thing with pride. Hey, we're here. And we're not going to let the Steelers push us around. And it's clearly playing to the crowd. But to wear that when your season's on the rocks, to wear that when you have been defined by undisciplined football, to wear that when you're the most penalized team of the game, to wear that when you're probably one and done, It just says everything. It says everything. It just says everything. Look, I'm not saying every head coach has to be wired the same exact way. But take any of the head coaches that are in the playoff catbird seats right now, and you tell me if said coach would wear that t-shirt. You take the top 10 coaches in the NFL, and you tell me if there's any way, shape, or form in the middle of a miserable season, not the middle of a great season, in the middle of a bad season, if they would wear a t-shirt mocking an opponent. People say, well, what about Sean Payton? He wore a t-shirt with the Goodell clown nose. Do you see that big fat piece of jewelry on his finger? The guy has been one of the best coaches in football for more than a decade. He has won a Super Bowl and is entrenched as the winning coach in Saints history. The winningest, best coach in Saints history. Freddie Kitchens is a boob. Freddie Kitchens is a complete boob. And oh, by the way, was Sean Payton taking a shot at an opponent before the game in the middle of a 4-8 season? Or was he taking a shot at what he felt was unfair treatment from a commissioner? I mean, it is such the height of idiocy. And Freddie Kitchens is such a goober. He is such an idiot. I mean, what? He thinks that this is going to galvanize the team? Does he think this just plays to the crowd and thus he's of Cleveland? I mean, there's such a weird thing happening in Cleveland, and it is hard for those in Cleveland to get it because they're in it. And I know this feeling because I've worked in passionate, delirious, crazy, intense local markets. But when you are in Cleveland, you don't even realize how dumb this whole thing looks from the outside. I don't think. At least that's not my feeling, because it feels like a lot of Browns fans are defending this. Oh, it's only a t-shirt. That doesn't mean you're going to win or lose. Well, people have been unfair. You know, let's just pick this apart. In Cleveland, they've been the punchline for a long time. They've been the downtrodden, the beaten, the losers for a long time. They have been the NFL punchline. And so they're sick of it. They're sick and tired of it. They love a winner. They love their football. They haven't had a winner. They haven't really had good football. They've had all these jamokes come through, all these bozo coaches and terrible quarterbacks and the jersey with all the quarterbacks that's on display publicly, and everybody knows, ha-ha, the Browns. And they love their football, and they're prideful of their football, and they go back to the first dynasty, really, in the NFL in the 50s, or at least one of the first dynasties, and they want a winner. They've had Paul Brown. They've had Jim Brown. They've had NFL championships. And they're sick of this. And I get it. And I get it. And so they want to finally be able to crow and punch back and say, we're not the losers anymore. We're not just chumps. And so Baker Mayfield's bravado and Odell Beckham's flashiness and Freddie Kitchens, yeah, come get us. This works. This works well. This plays to the crowd. But they're losers. The season's over. It was going to take a miracle to make the playoffs anyway, but now, having lost yesterday to the Steelers, it's over. And what has been accomplished? You still don't have a coach. And Freddie Kitchens, in his wisdom, says, oh, my daughter's bought me this t-shirt, and I was just going to wear it out anyway, and I would wear it again. Well, don't you think that kind of devil may care, who cares about repercussions, I'll do it my way type of attitude might be somewhat indicative of how your team has played and failed this year? Don't you think that feels like the exact message that Freddie Kitchens has given to his team? Odell Beckham, cleats, great. Fight with the NFL, great. It's always somebody else's fault, great. You just do you, Odell. Baker Mayfield, great. You're throwing a billion interceptions. Who cares? It's somebody else's fault. You know, go out there, be you. Create conflict. Create aggravation. It's always us against somebody else. You're fine. All right, everybody on the team. Miles Garrett, even though he's been suspended for the rest of the season, your best player suspended. You know what? Pittsburgh started it. We support our guy. Mason Rudolph definitely said something. He was the instigator. All these penalties. You know what? We're not going to change a thing. We're just going to execute better. You know, screw you. Pittsburgh started it. Does this sound like maybe there's a theme here? Maybe there's a theme? It's too bad. It really is too bad because the Browns in the playoffs would be freaking awesome. And Cleveland hosting playoff games would be freaking awesome. And as great as they supported the Cavs and LeBron, and as great as they love the Indians, could you imagine the Browns as a winner in that town? It would be next level awesome. And it's a laughingstock. And Freddie Kitchens is part of that. And Freddie Kitchens is just playing the Rube the rest of the way, and he's a squeaky fart away from being Jim Tom Sula. I mean, it's just a joke. It's a complete and utter joke. Throughout the month of December, the DA show counts down the 12 greatest moments of 2019. We've done this every single year. It's our annual tradition, and it is time to start the countdown with the first four out. February 14th, you might remember there was a bit of a national dust-up where Matt Kuchar stiffed his caddy with just a $5,000 tip after winning a huge event. This created quite the fallout here inside the DA Show studios. This is the first of the first four out. You're half intoxicated.
I told you, I thought Del Toucan was probably smoking a Chiba, not studying the slopes.
I just don't understand why people can't be nice. Like, what's the problem here?
$5,000, is it nice? You act like he stiffed them.
Yes, it is stiffing.
It's $5,000.
It's the minimum. So why not just give him nothing then?
$5,000 is nothing to you? What was your last contract? $1.5 million now at $5,000? $5,000 is a lot of money.
What kind of voice is that? What are you, Mickey Mouse suddenly?
Well, I'm just getting stressed out. That's a lot of money for the guy.
It is the bare minimum. It is literally the bare minimum he could possibly give.
No, a bare minimum would have been a couple junior bacons from Wendy's and say, have a nice day, Toucan.
That is Mark Chernoff coming in and saying, nice job, Mraz. You guys were number one in the ratings. Here's your bonus. Here's a $5 bill. It is literally the bottom of the bonus. You couldn't give the guy less. $5,000 is the least you could possibly give.
No, $4,999 other dollars are less increments. That's a lot of money, $5,000.
Every dollar less than $5,000 is more of an embarrassment. He's supposed to get $120. He got $5. Imagine your Christmas bonus was supposed to be $120,000 and they gave you $5,000. You wouldn't go, oh man, $5,000 is a lot of money. Beep, 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 beep. I sound like Mickey Mouse. Give me a few bacon double cheeseburgers. No, you'd say it's only $5,000.
Now, transparency, I probably would be annoyed. But
you think
you're missing the other point here?
What's the other point?
He still got offered that extra 15 when he came back and turned that down.
Oh yeah, and you would love Entercom Radio if they turned around and said, "Yeah, you know what? We're getting bad publicity from Deadspin. We only gave Mraz $5,000, so let's throw him another 15." You wouldn't still be barking the whole time. I mean, come
I'd be punish. I'd be throwing dollar bills y'all
oh,
around
yeah.
at the bar. If I got
you were
15.
Supposed to get $120,000 bonus, you would not be doing any type of dancing.
I'd get one of those money guns and be spraying it all over a bar in Babylon
sure
Village
would.
If I got an extra $15,000.
Sure you would.
Is he done? I had to take my headphones off for that squealing. Is that over?
Screeching.
What was that?
Mickey Mouse. But the dog's a lot of money. That's the first of the first four out of the 12 DAs as we begin counting down the most memorable moments of 2019. This week will be the first four out, and then on Friday we will unveil number 12. I'll post the 12 candidates to the 12 DAs and get your feedback out of the D-Aliens. See what you guys think was the most memorable moment of the 2019 year. And remember, this kind of goes back to late 2018, because It's the 12 months in between the votes. So it's basically Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving, and we have declared that Taco Bell bisque actually happened after the ballot was closed, after the candidates were closed. And so Taco Bell bisque poisoning gets pushed ahead to the 2020 12 DAs. When we come back here on the show, oh, the Cowboys. Oh, the Eagles. Oh, the Giants. Which NFC East team is the most miserable today? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.